like stuff that's not done from the previous days,
yeah.
and you have to kind of bring it over. And if you repeat the same pattern of scheduling based on just time instead of time plus energy that's required, and without scheduling in break times, for sure you're gonna feel very stressed out every time when you sit down and be like, okay, I need to plan my schedule. Hello, beautiful one, and welcome back to another episode on the Good Life Podcast with me, Noor.
And with me, Maisie Wahid.
Thank you so much for joining us on this beautiful, ever-growing, ever-learning journey.
And it's an even more beautiful weather. As we're recording, you might hear the pitter-patter on the window because it's raining.
Yes.
I would say it's almost cats and dogs. It's pretty heavy outside, but we're enjoying the weather.
Yeah.
Lovely weather for us to have this conversation today about how to make lifelong learning more fun, more impactful in your life.
Yeah. And as we are doing this, you know, today, doing our podcasting and speaking about learning, it is something that is enjoyable for us because we're in good company. You know, we're in a very nice, you know, cozy environment. And I think, you know, want to be exploring, you know, ways you can also, you know, feel that for yourself as well, right? You know, while you are learning, you are also enjoying that process of learning, and one which has a very beautiful impact on your life.
Yes. This episode is part of the Raikan Ilmu Initiative, also known as Celebrate Knowledge, which was set up by Yayasan Mendaki in 2016 as part of the continuous plans to promote the culture of learning within the Malay Muslim community. This year's theme is all about seizing opportunities and exploring diverse and new ways to adapt, to grow, to learn, and be ready for the future ahead. For people of all ages, be it if you're a child, a youth, an adult, a parent, doesn't matter, you can find out the various initiatives and opportunities at raikanilmu.sg. That's raikanilmu.sg.
Yeah, so thank you so much, Yayasan Mendaki, for sponsoring this episode. We are truly so proud to be part of this beautiful collaboration of, you know, ever learning and, you know, ever growing, because, you know, this is something that really embodies, you know, what this podcast is all about. This is something that is part of, you know, our purpose and reason of why we do what we do, right? So, you know, speaking of learning, right? I was watching this documentary of Netflix called Babies. I don't know whether you've actually caught it before.
No, not yet.
Yeah, so it is actually a 6-part documentary series that follows 15 families around the world during the first few months of a baby's life, right? Basically to seek answers to the eternally unanswerable question of how babies become who they are and what they do to us. So many tend to think that, you know, babies, they won't remember much of what they see, what they hear when they were young, because they're just like, you know, this, you know, little tiny little thing.
Okay, question. What's the earliest memory of life you've ever had? And at which age was it?
Okay, oh my gosh. Let me see. I think the earliest, right, that I can recall was probably when I was maybe 3 or 4 years old, when I was watching a Predator movie.
What? Well, at least I've seen your progress from watching Predator at 3 years old to watching a 6-part documentary series. So that's good, Noor. Good improvement.
I remember I was watching that in the living room. And at the same time, I was also playing dress up, forcing my uncle to take a picture of me. Yeah.
Too much info. But anyways, mine also was about the same. So I've always wondered, like, what is the earliest memory you ever had? Because mine was about 3 years old too. I think one of the more vivid ones was, I think my parents just bought a house and moved in. I remember my dad carrying me, walking into the bare house, the kitchen cabinet just installed and everything. It was just, you know. So I couldn't remember anything much before that. Glimpses, but not so sure whether they are, you know, dream or reality. I have no idea. So tell me more about this documentary.
Yeah, so basically what this documentary seeks to understand is to see, you know, how amazing these little tiny human beings are, you know. And, you know, many people would think, right, that they don't actually know much because they are tiny and they are incapable of moving much, speaking much, or doing much. But on the contrary, that little tiny brain is already observing its world, right? Reasoning what they observe. They are already, you know, learning so much just within the first few months of being out on planet Earth. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of us don't tend to recall exactly, right, the stuff that happened probably from the time that we're out of a mummy's womb to maybe about 2-3-ish years old. It seems very fuzzy and like a fog. Mm-hmm. Probably we tend to remember a bit more fragments of memories here and there from perhaps 3-4 years and above. But the fact that we don't remember does not mean that we don't absorb the information around us. It does not mean that we did not actually make sense of the stuff that we have experienced as that little tiny baby.
Meaning our surroundings still did influence us, shaped us, molded us in some way.
Yes, definitely. And there have also been ample studies that have indicated that babies, they begin, you know, absorbing language when they are still in the womb. You know, they are picking up information from the outside world and they're especially receptive to sounds from the mummy's, you know, body in the external world.
So it's proven now? Because a lot of mummies have been told to talk to the babies in the womb. So it's proven.
You know, rubbing the mummy's tummy and that baby inside the womb, they can feel that sense of connectedness, that touch. It may not be really a lot, but it really starts from inside.
Probably like the vibrations, the voice.
They can feel it, you know, when a mom is under a lot of stress and anxiety or when she's taking, like, you know, for example, a lot of, like, you know, drugs into her system, it all goes and translates, you know, to the baby, the womb, right? And I think it's really important for us to be attuned and to really, you know, observe these little babies that are just roaming and moving through Earth with such a, you know, a curious lens, right?
Yeah. So now we can say that learning can start as early as that.
Yes.
As early as when your child is still in the womb and the moment they were born, you know, as long as we continue talking to them, engaging with them, stimulating them in some way, through colors, through sound, some visuals, touch, they will gain something, right?
I remember there was actually this social experiment they were doing. So there was, you know, one period where, you know, the mummy would be very vibrant in her expression. She'd be smiling, she'd be engaging and interacting with a child. And the child would seem very happy. They would, you know, smile, they would laugh. But the moment when she just shuts off, and she does not show any form of response or interaction, it begins to ignite a lot of anxiety in the child. The child starts crying. And it seems to bring about the sense of confusion in the child of like, why aren't you interacting with me, mummy? You know, what's wrong? What's wrong, right? So it tries to do what it can to be able to get the attention of the mom, to be able to smile again, to do something to respond.
Yeah.
Right? And I feel that we are, that's how we learn through life. We are, you know, when we move through life, it is based on all these, you know, stimuli that we are constantly engaged with, right? Because we have all these various senses, right? It is something that keeps us alive. And how we learn is through engaging our senses along the way. So when I looked at that particular, you know, baby's documentary, it got me thinking that, you know, we as human beings, we have this natural, curious tendency to want to learn. We have been doing it for as long as we're alive because of, you know, our need to want to evolve and to thrive, right? And especially when the learning material, the stimuli presented to us, it is interesting, it is intriguing, it will keep us engaged, just like that baby, right? When it saw, you know, its mom being engaged, it got the baby hooked in that process as well. And I feel that that is, you know, one of the ways that we can have, you know, more of that continuous fun learning in our lives, right? To do that, you know, we need to keep ourselves excited, you know, engaged in the things that we learn.
Yes. And so we are going to cover about 5 different points to share with you today to elaborate more on this conversation. The first one is, make learning a priority for you, okay? So exploring your relationship with learning is important. How do you view it? do you see learning as a burden? Because all this while you've never enjoyed school.
Mm-hmm.
But no, the reality is school is not the only way you learn.
Yeah.
There are many other ways that you can learn. So it's important to confront that idea, that notion that, oh, it's so, it's such a big burden, I don't like. Because you imagine yourself sitting down, listening to a lecture for hours and hours on something that you don't enjoy. But learning has changed tremendously today. And please revisit that idea that you have about learning. Okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
Or are you the kind of person who loves to learn? It's so embedded into your lifestyle that, you know, I know people like this too, where every time I see them, I ask them, so where are you going? Oh, I'm going for class. Or I sign up for this. Or I'm going, like, wow. You know, so some people, they're so entrenched in learning.
Yeah, so eager, right?
Mm. So, yeah.
Yeah, so I feel that, you know, this is the part where we need to do a lot of the unlearning of, you know, all these, being aware, right, when we have all these self-limiting, you know, assumptions that we have about learning, you know, which is along the lines of, I will only do it when I have time, or whenever I think about learning, it's a waste of time, it's a waste of money, it's a burden. So, you know, I think one may have had negative, bad experience with learning, you know, especially growing up. You know, personally for me, from, you know, as much as I can remember, you know, growing up in school, I did not find learning fun. I think mainly Why? Because the teachers did not make it fun. You know, what I could remember is just, you know, do homework. If you don't do homework, you're going to be punished, right? Mm. And in school, it was so competitive. I felt so pressurized and stressed out that I felt that I did not have that bandwidth to, you know, take a step back to see like what I'm learning, whether is it something that really connected with me? Mm. How do I make the, you know, learning experience more fun? It felt so stressful.
Mm.
And I think, you know, for as long as I can remember, from as early as primary school all the way to uni, one word I could use to summarize, stress. It's just so stressful, right?
I think a lot of people can relate to you. Yeah. That time is very stressful.
Very stressful, right? And I feel that only once I, you know, finished university years, right? And I started to take that time, consciously to start to take that time to be able to unlearn all these things, to be able to take a step back to reflect like, hey, you know, how have I been viewing learning in my life? You know, do I see it as something that is like, you know, you learn because you need to do it, not because I would love to do
it. It's society's expectation.
Yeah, you know, I felt that I had to do it because, you know, my parents said so, or society, you know, said
or
that
all
you,
of my friends were doing
yeah, it. Because all my friends were doing it. So it wasn't really about what I wanted to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think because I wasn't emotionally invested in that learning process, it was hard for me to enjoy it.
Mm.
Right? I did not really enjoy it at all. So I feel that when we take the time to be able to reflect our relationship that we have with the learning experience, it will actually, I think, open up, you know, our eyes in terms of the current situation we're in right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, you know, what we need to do to be able to move towards a place that we find ourselves, you know, being more happy in when it comes to learning.
So if you keep telling yourself, one day I'll do it, it will never come. It's because one day, someday, you know, it rarely happens.
Yeah.
So trying to build a building on a foundation of instability will only fall down in the end. And it is the same when it comes to trying to build our confidence in learning and growing. It requires us to be sure of our priorities from the get-go. Because the term one day is so open, it's so vague.
Yeah.
It seems to indirectly convey to yourself it will never happen for you. It's like falsely keeping your hopes up.
Yeah.
And if today can't be that day, you want to consciously embark on that learning journey, give yourself a specific date that you wish to start. So what you can do is to schedule it out. People say, if you just dream it, you know, it's never going to happen. But once you schedule it, then it becomes a reality.
Yeah, I feel like just dreaming, I mean, dreaming about stuff, it is amazing, right? It keeps your hopes up. But again, it is not enough to get you to where you want to be. So it has to be a mix of, you know, dreaming, you know, planning, and also the doing part. That is equally as important. So when it comes to, you know, things like scheduling and stuff like that, it is something that's very helpful because, you know, we as human beings, we love rituals. We thrive on, you know, doing stuff that is like ritual-ish related, right? And we all have them. You know, think about it. We get ready for work in our own habitual ways. You know, we brush our teeth in a certain way. We sleep a certain way. We travel to work in a certain way. So we tend to complete all these, like, you know, everyday tasks using very familiar methods. So and the reason why we keep going back to all these familiar methods, because it's something reassuring about the familiar, right? So when you take the time to, you know, consistently schedule something, it helps you, it helps to train the mind to know what to anticipate. So it falls into that familiar zone. And it's not something that you're like, oh my God, out of the blue, I have to do this, right? So, you know, set aside, you know, some time, you know, some space each day to try to learn something new, to study, and try to keep at it, you know, every single day.
Recently, I gave a similar advice to someone, and then they said, but Mizi, I get stressed when I over-plan and over-schedule. What's your take on that?
I feel that that's where you need to kind of, okay, I realize
can
the
you
reason
relate to that?
I can.
Okay.
And I find that the reason why people get stressed when they schedule in too much is because when they schedule stuff, right, they underestimate the amount of energy that goes into that particular task. So when they schedule stuff, it's just based on the amount of time it takes, not the amount of mental, emotional energy that it takes to do that task. So a lot of it is very underestimated. That's one. Number two, they don't actually consciously schedule in break times. So you don't see break time inside the calendar.
It's blank.
It's blank, or there's it's not even, you know, break time. Like, for example, okay, you wake up, then 9 to 11, 11 to 12, 12 to 2, 2 to don't know whatever. I mean,
every slot is filled with a task.
It's filled with something. And it's no wonder at the end of the day, you're like, okay, I did not even finish everything on my list, or you're just simply
and then the next day
so
looks,
exhausted.
And then the next day
so
looks scary.
Yeah, it looks so scary. And then you have like stuff that's not done from the previous days.
Yeah.
And you have to kind of bring it over. And if you repeat the same pattern of scheduling based on just time instead of time plus energy that's required and without scheduling in break times, for sure, you're going to feel very stressed out every time when you sit down and be like, okay, I need to plan my schedule.
All right, that's really good. I hope you guys take note, yeah? Another thing I think we should talk about, Nora, is about the timing of learning.
Yeah.
So another tip in scheduling that learning time in your calendar is to choose a time that you know your mind is active and your mind is fresh, okay? For me, it's my mornings. So it is important to avoid times you won't be able to focus, such as for some right before bedtime. I think bedtime doesn't work for me. I'm usually very tired, exhausted, drained.
Yeah.
I can't really do much. But in the morning, that's really the best time for me. It may be hard to schedule with a full work schedule yourself, timetable, and a family or everyday obligations. But progressively, you know, doing up your timetable in time to learn, even if it's just 15 minutes a day, will add to a lot in the long term. It may not seem like it's going to make a big difference when you go it day by day, but at the end of the year, 15 minutes a day, that's a lot.
Yep.
Yeah. So the objective is to really train your mind to connect with the benefits and of learning, especially if it has been a while since you've done that.
Yeah, I think it also goes back to managing your expectations, right? Really looking at your current schedule and life right now. If you find that you have a lot going on, don't tell yourself that, okay, you know, I'm gonna, you know, do like a full day of just learning, right? I think when you set your mind up for such a huge, tremendous step, your mind is naturally going to feel and, you know, bring about a lot of resistance. And I feel that that resistance that you feel is just going to bring about unnecessary inertia, you know, for you to do and embark on that learning process. So again, go back to what you feel is comfortable and realistic based on your life circumstance right now. You know, a little goes a long way, right? And I feel that while you're at it, you know, it's also important to be specific on what exactly is your learning goal, right? Research has showed that, you know, precise and ambitious goals, right, one that is also realistic, it increases the chances of a performance of an individual, right? So you could actually come up with a series of, you know, subjects, tasks, or activities that you want to learn. So it's all about building the excitement, the anticipation. Don't keep it like very vague, or, you know, just, oh, this is like learning time, but what exactly are you going to learn? What do you want to be exploring more about, right? So plan that out. So I feel that this will help you be more prepared for learning each day, instead of, you know, when it comes to the learning block time, you're sitting down thinking about, okay, you know, what do I want to do now, right? So you may choose, like, for example, a topic for each week that you want to learn more about. Maybe week one, you want to learn more about, you know, the successful habits of highly effective people. You know, we did a podcast on this. You could check that out as well, right? So there are many resources that you could actually turn to read up more about the same topic. Week two, maybe you want to learn, you know, all about the different, you know, industry trends, the updates out there in the world, right? So what you could do, you could shortlist some webinars, some online conferences, talks that you want to attend.
So guys, on that note, we would like to invite you to check out the free upcoming webinar that is happening real soon on the 29th of October about digitalization and new technologies, which it's still open for registration, by the way. You can visit the microsite at raikanilmu.sg and search under the header activities. And then click on the subheader called Jump Career Fair and Workshops. There is also the live dialogue that will be happening on the 30th of October that will be covering on the topic of gearing the workforce for the future. This is where the conversation will cover areas such as understanding how we can develop and reskill so that we have the competitive advantage to get jobs in growth sectors, understanding the roles of government bodies in helping the workforce, and how we can work together to strengthen the networks and social capital of young people, especially amongst the Malay Muslim job seekers, in order to promote career mobility in those high growth industries. It's definitely something worth checking out.
Yeah, so, you know, those are the two upcoming, you know, events that you will probably want to check out to find out more information if you're into, you know, getting yourself updated on what's going on in the industry. You know, what are the upcoming sectors, the growth sectors as well. So we'll be posting more details on our Instagram, thegoodlife_podcast, so stay tuned for that as well.
So let's move on to the second point.
Yeah.
Make a list of the people you want to learn from.
Yeah.
I like this. So this could be, you know, the same topic, but learning it from different sources to gain new insights, connecting with different styles and ways of delivery by people. So for example, if you're into architecture, you may have been reading from the same book, same author, you know, same textbooks. But what if you start talking to people who have been working for 10 years, 5 years, 15 years, for sure, you're going to learn new insights, you know, definitely. So, you know, if you're into media, so learn from people who are experts in specific fields. And you never know, you know, it's not just about the webinars that you can sign up for. Sometimes it could be in the form of just simply dropping them a note on LinkedIn, on Instagram, just say hi, say you appreciate their work, you want to learn more from them. You never know who's going to say, sure, why not, you know? Let me know, when are you free for coffee and things like that, you know?
Yeah, you know, I feel that, you know, sometimes, right, you could be hearing the same information, but from different people, you connect with differently. You know what I mean? Like, for example, when it comes to things I learn on, you know, counseling and psychology, it's the same kind of theories, but I don't know why, when sometimes when I hear it from someone different, I pick up, you know, different information and it gets absorbed differently. And I find that that is the value and the benefit of, you know, learning from different sources, diversifying your sources. So like, for example, my area of interest is, you know, understanding the human mind. So I don't just go to just one person to gain all of that knowledge. But you know, my platforms to understand the same topic is diversified. There's school, you know, from my lecturers, I learn from them. There's, you know, reading, you know, all these books, right? Listening to podcasts, various podcast platforms. There's YouTube videos, online conferences, all these workshops. So the people I learn from, they are pretty diversified as well as the modes of learning.
It's more enriching.
Yeah, it's more enriching. And I feel that, you know, when I think about my learning process, it's not dull because it is a mix of visual, auditory, kinesthetic, you know, reading and even writing, right? So, you know, there are so many, you know, benefits to this diverse way of learning. You know, for me personally, one of it helps me to verify the information that I am learning, whether is it correct, you know, based on the consistency that I am seeing, right? Number two, it also helps me to learn, you know, how different people, they talk, you know, to see how different people view things, you know, how they talk about the same topic. And all of these, it helps me to shape my way of wanting to learn and to see the world. So like, my mind then doesn't just see things just one, you know, rigid way. It's able to see things in a more integrated sense, right?
Multidimensional,
right? And number three, it keeps me super excited because I feel that, you know, I am constantly learning, constantly meeting, you know, different people. And I think the most important thing is that I'm using different parts of my senses. I'm engaging different parts of my senses in this whole learning process.
Yes, awesome. Number three, find a job that encourages learning and collaboration. So work takes up pretty much a lot of our time, a lot of our energy. If we are in a work environment that does not really provide much room to learn, to make mistakes, to work together as a team, to collaborate, we will end up feeling really bored and tired of it after a while. Work is supposed to be a learning experience. If there isn't opportunity to grow that important learning element, it makes your brain go really bored after a while. It's going to feel like, oh, this is just routine. Yeah. It's mundane. It's boring. And that is what stops us from learning further. That is what makes us look at learning as not fun. It makes us look at it as not exciting. Like Nora said earlier, she's excited. So are you excited? If you're not excited, something's wrong.
Yeah.
And probably it's the environment. So there are many current initiatives out there, such as the career conversion programs by Workforce Singapore, which allows you to consider switching to a whole new different job role, even if you don't have prior work experience. Or even the Career Trial Initiative, which allows you to try out being in a new work environment before committing to the full-time job.
Yeah, absolutely. So there are actually all these, you know, various, you know, initiatives and resources out there for you to try out, for you to experiment, right? And you find yourself feeling unhappy in your current job position. If you find that, you know, it's kind of stunting your personal growth, your professional growth, then, you know, it's really time for you to do something about it, right? You know, it is no point staying in that job year after year after year and you find yourself pretty much complaining about the same old thing and you find yourself going into the same, you know, exhaustion cycle again and again and again. Trust me, you know, after some time, they can pay you a whole lot, but no amount of money can ever, you know, take back that time that has been lost in you just, you know, wasting a whole lot of your energy in doing the stuff that you don't really love. You know, I've seen people where, you know, they get paid a lot of money, but at the end of the day, the mental, emotional health, it is compromised, right? You know, they get really sick and they don't have the energy to be able to spend all that money that they have made. And
what's the point?
Yeah, and their life is just filled with so much regret. And some of these illnesses are just irreversible, right? Or some of it requires even more money to be able to get, you know, the to seek out the healthcare professionals to be able to help them out to get themselves recovered from whatever, you know, illness that they have, you know, gotten as a result of all that stress.
All right. So let's move on to the next point, and it's about embracing change, number four. I feel that learning to embrace change is such an important part of allowing ourselves to let the learning process be more fun and impactful. As we know, change is inevitable. But when we don't want to open our minds to that, and if we don't want to leave our comfort zones, it becomes harder to move about. Because we then start focusing on what went wrong instead of what we could do better to help us move forward. Making mistakes is part of the learning process. Making mistakes is part of how change happens. When we stop ourselves from making mistakes, what's really happening is that we're allowing ourselves to stop learning the entire process.
Yeah.
And so we don't grow, we get stuck, we don't learn anything at all.
Yeah, I think change, it's something that's so important for us to acknowledge that is really happening in our lives today. Mm-hmm. I think the more we are in denial, the more we deny ourselves of the opportunities that come by. So I think when we learn how to, I think, you know, the part about learning how to embrace change, it involves learning how to let go of control as well.
Yeah.
And learning how to let go of control, it often goes back again to a, you know, much deeper rooted, you know, underlying issue within us on the need to have control. Why is it so important to stick to something that we know it's not going to help us anymore? Why is it so important for us to have control over the things in our life and, you know, not move along with change, right? So when we find ourselves feeling stuck in life, you know, one of the reasons, it could be our mindset that's just being so fixated on not wanting and resisting that change. So it's something for us to explore further and unpack further. Yeah.
All right. And the last tip that we want to share today is, how about form a study group? When we talk about lifelong learning, making it exciting, join group learning events that invest much of their time in learning a new skill and knowledge. There are many ways you can go around doing this, Noor.
Yeah.
Like today, Facebook groups, join Clubhouse. Do they call it groups, pages, accounts? I don't know. But based on clubs. Yeah, Clubhouse, clubs. Yeah. So you can join clubs there. And then whenever they go live, you can actually tune in.
Yep.
To it could be photography, could be workout groups, fitness. It could be book clubs where they review books that you love reading, and so on. Because the people you surround yourself with, their habits will rub off on you and influence how you view and prioritize learning too.
Yeah.
They, in a way, keep you accountable on your learning journey. This group is where you can talk on a deeper level on the things you want to learn more about and clarify on things you have read about.
Yeah.
That's where you get to gain and exchange new perspectives. And I feel that such groups will also give you the opportunity to teach and share with one another what you've learned.
Yeah. I feel, you know, I can really connect with this. Like, you know, for example, going back to school, right? You know, we have formed our own little study group, just the four of us. And I feel that it has made my learning experience at school a whole lot more enriched, deeper, and more fun. And I feel as though, you know, there are times where you, when you go through school life and it's like, oh my God, it's just so stressful. Or you meet a certain lecturer, like, and you're just like, what is this lecturer talking about? You don't understand what they're talking about. And then, you know, you, when you have these study groups, you turn to them, you're like, and you can talk about stuff that you don't understand about. You can clarify the concepts that you have learned. And you can practice a lot of, like, you know, role plays and stuff like that. And I feel that much of learning, it happens outside of the classroom. It's not actually you just go through class and you're like, yeah, you know, my mind's enriched. No, I feel that a lot of the learning happens outside of the classroom. And most of the times, you know, it requires you to be able to initiate all these experiences for yourself to enrich what you currently have. So school life itself, it is not enough. You know, for you to be able to enrich that, you know, learning school life experiences, it has to be complemented with all of these. So it could be, you know, a study group, it could be, you know, a little club or community that you join out there. So whatever it is out there that helps you to further deepen the skill that you want to learn today, you know, go for that, you know, search for that, you know, never just settle with what you have today.
Yep.
Right.
For instance, when it comes to counseling skills, you are not an effective therapist just by scoring all A's in your exams. In addition to the theory, you need to have enough practicum experience. So this is what Nora was talking about.
Yeah.
Outside real life experience.
Yeah.
And to do that, you need to have practiced the theories you have learned. So they work side by side. You need both of them. So yeah, there are many benefits to being part of a study group or community. Number one, it keeps you in check.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, it keeps you combating procrastination.
Yeah.
And number three, it makes learning fun because you get to be around people who share similar interests as you. And not surprisingly, the desire to procrastinate can be much stronger when we are alone.
Yeah.
So such groups are meant to motivate one another, to provide support for one another, and to keep that momentum going.
Yeah. So if today, you know, whatever you're choosing to want to, you know, deep dive into exploring and learning, if you haven't found, you know, that group that you could be part of, that community that you could be part of, find one. Find one that connects with you,
mm-hmm.
That makes you feel excited to be part of, and join that, right? You know, start reading more about, you know, that particular skill, that thing that you're learning about, and start sharing. Because in sharing, right, you start really reinforcing the stuff that you have learned. And who knows, you know, you might actually connect with like-minded people out there, and these people become your people. And, you know, it makes learning experience much more fun.
Yes. So once again, as a conclusion, lifelong learning is about building a positive attitude towards the benefits gained when you increase your store of knowledge. Even if you never enjoyed school, you can still find ways to enjoy your own personal learning and professional development today and learn about things that genuinely interest you. The journey of learning never stops once you end school. It is only the beginning. And I guess, Noor, that's why when you graduate, sometimes the graduation ceremony is called the commencement.
Yeah.
Because you are simply just commencing at that stage.
Yeah.
With life. Yeah. So thank you everybody for tuning in. Once again, this episode is part of the Raikan Ilmu Initiative, which was set up by Yayasan Mendaki in 2016 as part of the continuous plans to promote the culture of learning within the Malay Muslim community. This year's theme is all about seizing opportunities and exploring diverse and new ways to adapt, to grow, to learn, and to be ready for the future ahead. You can find out more about this at raikanilmu.sg.
Yeah, so thank you so much, you know, Yayasan Mendaki, to allow us to be part of this beautiful initiative. And thank you so much, dear one, for listening all the way through. You know, we hope you jot down, you know, awesome stuff. Feel free to share it with us as well on an Instagram. Tag us, thegoodlife_podcast. We always love reading all of your reflections and all of your insights. So we can't wait for you to listen to the next episode. In the meantime, be bold, be beautiful, and stay the amazing you that you are. Take care, dear one. Bye.
Bye.